So the hotel industry, I mean, if one just looks at some of those income statements, I mean, you weep when people used to bring in millions per month. Some of that's literally gone down to zero. Places and businesses without decent balance sheets will fold. They will. If you don't have a decent balance sheet, if you can't leverage that, and you still think you're going to be around for the next 8 months, it'll be a challenge. But some businesses, it depends which business you're talking about, they find themselves in, you know, different levels of distress is the point that I'm trying to make. Now, Tsokosan's been around for a very long time. We know that under level 3, you are allowed to get on a plane and do business travel. Quite frankly, I'd prefer getting on a train, but those don't work. And when you land in wherever it is, you need to stay somewhere. Can't just rock up to a friend's home. And that is why some of these hotels are going to be opening up their doors. As I said, Ravi Nadesan is the COO of Tsokosan. So how many grey hairs have you developed over the last 6-7 weeks, Ravi? Good to have you on the show.
It's good to be here. I've got lots, and they're covered up quite nicely because I haven't had the chance to have a haircut in quite a long time.
Ravi, this is obviously not a laughing matter, but let's talk about the business. Let's talk about Tsokosan. Everybody's been hit by this, but how have you responded to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's unprecedented. I don't think anybody ever saw this coming, and certainly not us from a hotel point of view. You know, the interesting thing about a hotel is that when the doors of a hotel first open, it's one of the few businesses that never, ever, ever closes. It's open 24/7, 365 for the, you know, for its entire lifetime.
Yep.
And the sad thing that we've seen with our portfolio is, you know, we've had to close the doors to some of our hotels that have been around for a long, long time. And for the first time ever, you know, those doors were closed. So it's been unprecedented for us. And, you know, our focus really has been to batten down the hatches, to make sure that we try and look after our people. You know, we've got lots of obligations, you know, not just financial. You know, there are suppliers that depend on us. There are SMMEs that we have developed and grown and brought,
yep,
you know, along our journey with us. So it's been a really tough couple of months, you know, just trying to hold it all together and, you know, take a long-term view to see this thing out and make sure that we come out whole and that the people who are dependent on us also make it through it.
What type of assistance have you been giving people, if I may ask?
So what we've had to do from an employee point of view is all of us have taken cuts and we've gone on a sort of a furlough principle where we've basically, because the hotels have been shut, we've been running on skeleton system in the hotels and our central office has been, you know, literally shut, you know, bar a handful of us. And, you know, we've just been making sure that we try and minimize any cash burn. We've tried and keep expenses to an absolute minimum,
yeah,
and just try and ride it out. And obviously, you know, the president's address the other day where he unlocked interprovincial travel and business travel is a bit of a lifeline for us. It does allow us the opportunity to open a bit of our portfolio again and hopefully see some income come in.
Now, that was a good move. I think the one thing we all realize, and we realize it very quickly, is that we need to get this economy up and running, but quite safely. So just looking at the safety side of it. So I saw something interesting on Business Insider that some hotels have some very interesting ways of doing things. Some of them are even asking for documents that you needed in another level, and government does not actually provide those documents, doesn't provide the documentation anymore. So what is the Tsoho take on safety and getting up and running now, albeit slowly?
Yeah, and I think that's been our absolute underpinning issue with everything. You know, I was very, very fortunate to be part of the people from industry who were able to present the health protocols to the president 2 Fridays ago. And I think that was a large part of why our sector got unlocked, because these health protocols are non-negotiable, and they're actually well entrenched in World Health Organization principles, National Department of Health, and also were independently verified by a professor from the University of Cape Town. And I think first and foremost, that's what's most important for us, is the health protocols of not just our guests, but our staff, yeah, and the people that are that are employed by us. So we've taken absolutely strict protocols. I mean, I read that article, and, you know, there are some silly things on there, but, you know, we subscribe to absolutely world-class protocols in terms of employee training, temperature screening, questionnaires. You know, we've had to amend our delivery and what we do in the hotel bedrooms. You know, it's not business as usual. You know, you as a traveler, you know, if you check in and something is, you're not sure whether something has been sanitized or clean, you're unlikely to touch it. So, you know, we've removed quite a few things from the bedrooms that you would ordinarily see there. You know, something as silly like a pen, you know, the pens that we use, you know, we are recyclable pens or made from recyclable products, so we eliminate plastic. But unfortunately, you can't sanitize a cardboard pen. So we've had to remove things like that from the room. And, you know, we've gone in with all high-touch areas, public areas in the bedrooms, and we've taken extra measures from a sanitization point of view.
Continue.
Yeah, so quite a bit of behind-the-scenes work. You know, and I think what we also didn't realize, and people don't realize, if you want to open up a hotel again after you've had it closed for 2 months, you can't just do it in 2 days. So we're currently just, you know, getting our systems up and running again, you know, water reticulation, making sure we do Legionnaires testing, preparing our HVAC systems and things like that. So we're in the process of getting things up and running again. The PPEs and all the health protocols are currently being put in place. And obviously, you know, all of that comes at a cost, but I don't think we're prepared to take any compromise in terms of safety.
I know you can't afford to. I mean, your brand's big enough. You're listed on the JSE. Any bit of, you know, negative information coming from loud mouths like me, for example, can affect things. So you need to be very careful about that. By the way, for those who've just tuned in, we've got Ravi Nadesan. He is the COO, Chief Operations Officer for Tsochosan. Now, Don't stress, Ravi, but we received a call, and we're putting it on from one of your shareholders. Jerome in Melkbos, a very good morning to you, sir. And Ravi's on the line. He can hear you.
Thank you very much, Kino. Just a quick question. I'm a very happy shareholder this morning. Share price is just about 50%. What I do want to know from the CEO is what do they attribute this to? Is it relaxation? Is it because we're seeing people coming into the hotels? What exactly is it? And when can we expect a sense announcement in this regard?
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Jerome and Malpush, Ravi?
I didn't catch all of it.
He's on the line. I'll keep him on there with you. I mean, he was talking about, he says he's a very happy shareholder, by the way, because you said it's gone up. How many? 15%, Jerome?
49.41% as we speak, you know.
What? Okay. I should have bought shares. He wants to know what one ascribes that increase in shares to. What would you say to that, Ravi?
We've released our results recently, and currently as I speak, our CEO is in the room next door on investor calls, you know, just explaining our result and taking everyone through it. If I could understand our share price, I'd be a very, very a very happy man. I mean, look, the shares from a hospitality point of view, if you look at what's happened over the last 2 months, you know, it's been an absolute bloodbath. We announced our results yesterday. Obviously, there's a bit of positive sentiment in the market with the opening of hotels. You know, we're opening quite a big part of our portfolio from a hotel's point of view. Not just 5 hotels, I think I heard you say earlier.
Yeah.
You know, we're basically activating most of our outlying hotels in the outlying cities. We're opening up 8, in most key centers, at least 1 or 2 hotels. So, you know, a big part of our portfolio will get activated in a phased approach. But what we will do is bring those on very slowly. And I think, as I heard you say to CISA earlier, it is a dress rehearsal. We're not sure what demand's going to be like. It's very dependent on airlines and inter-provincial travel.
Exactly.
But you know, we're going to start slowly so that we make sure we don't switch on everything and have a big cash burn and there's no demand. So we're going to be quite responsible about it. We'll have a phased approach. We'll bring on and activate the portfolio as and when demand picks up, and we'll take it from there.
Now you guys should. Thanks very much for that call, by the way, Ravi Nadesan. We're wrapping up our chat with him, the COO of Tsochosan. Vernon in Greenpoint with another call. Hi there, Vernon.
Hi there, and good morning to the listeners. Hi there, Ravi. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks, Peter.
Hi, Robbie. Yeah, we're one of your suppliers, EREV Max, and I think all suppliers should also look at the bigger picture. So what we've given you guys is a five-month cash relief payment period. And I think all suppliers to Sorgo Sun should also jump on the bandwagon, because it's a two-way game we're playing here. So, no, we help you, you help us. And I wish you well in opening up to business travel. And just that we'll be working with you guys. And I just wish that other suppliers would do the same, you know, to help Sorgo Sun, help other hotels, because we're all in the same boat and we all got to help each other.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much for that, Vernon. I don't know, comment on that, Robbie?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Vernon. I think, one of the most amazing things that we've seen, you know, and this is our 51st year of being around, is how the industry, our suppliers, and everybody has rallied together. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what we've said is that exactly what I said at the start. Our aim is to make sure we come out of this hole, and the people that depend on us, the suppliers, the SMMEs, the our staff, are all totally intact. So, you know, the EREV Maxes of the world, all our longstanding suppliers have really been exceptional, and we've gone through the storm together.
Absolutely. And you know, when was it, in 2018, HCI increased their stake, I think, by about 7% and became a 51% shareholder. What were they like as I mean, obviously, you were around, you have a job, your hotels are still out there. What was that relationship like with HCI, during this particular time?
Extremely supportive. I think, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better shareholder, just in terms of, you know, guiding us through, and also in terms of some of the pressure that they've taken through the multiple businesses that they've got. You know, we're able to tap into that longstanding experience and be able to draw from that. So I think, you know, from a guidance point of view and a support point of view, I don't think we could have asked for a better shareholder in these times.
Wonderful stuff. And so the future of hotels, what is it going to look like? I can tell you one thing. Me, as a person, I like hotels. My favorite one, by the way, and I'm not just saying it because Ravi's here, is 54 on Bath, right? Which is a Tsoga hotel, which is in Rosebank. It's a lovely boutique hotel. But even if, so, one goes back to your favorite hotel and you're in business, you don't want to touch anything as much as possible. Even when it comes to opening up doors and all sorts of other stuff, right? So how do you envision the future of the customer experience once they walk into your hotel?
Yeah, I think it'll never be the same again. I think, like you said, I think COVID would have changed it forever, totally. I mean, certainly with the protocols that we're putting in place right now, as much as we want to aim for a touchless environment, you know, what we're doing in the short term is moving towards a low touch environment. And I think that's going to be the future. I don't think anybody's going to be comfortable to touch anything, to, you know, do things as you've done it before. So as much as we're mobilizing things right now for low touch in the short term, I think it's going to become the new norm.
And what about conferencing? There's still some people who believe that, you know, 1,000 people in a conference center, and it will happen. I think we'll get to a point when there's a vaccine, and maybe a year down the line, year and a half down the line, 2 years maybe, where, you know, over 1,000 people sort of start streaming in and people travel all over the place to be part of conferences. Are you looking at the digital side of it as a initial stopgap and then a value add at the end once things go back to, in inverted commas, normal?
Yeah, I think in the short term, what we're lobbying for is smaller conferences. So, you know, we've presented quite a lengthy document in terms of how we'll deal with conferences. So you can have a conference of 50 people with all the social distancing rules in place. You know, you would have to serve meals and tea breaks and things like that differently, but there is a different way of doing it. So in the short term, I think there's still a need for face-to-face conferences at limited numbers, provided that you can exercise social distancing and all of the health protocols. But I think long term, it's going to be a while before we see another 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 conferences in. So, you know, certainly from a digital point of view, it is something that we are looking at. But, you know, we are very dependent on getting people into a room and serving them.
Yes.
You know, even, you know, the digital meetings that we've all become so accustomed to over the last couple of months has been from our living rooms. And, you know, it's very difficult for us to generate any revenue from meetings like that. So I think, you know, in the short term, smaller meetings, you know, in the long term, as things become, you know, people become more confident from a health protocol, obviously subject to how big meeting rooms are, we can try and increase those numbers.
Unless you figure out a way to fax a burger from the kitchen to the room. which is never going to happen. But anyway, Ravi, great chatting to you. I know you've got an 11:30, so there's 5 minutes left. Let's respect your time. Thank you so much for agreeing to chat to us today.
Super. Thank you, Kino. Thanks very much. Good to talk to you again.
Always great chatting. Ravi Nadesan there, COO of Tsochos.